headlines this hour. In the U.S., despite government efforts, fund managers grapple with fears of another recession. More civilians are killed in yet another U.S. airstrike in Afghanistan. And Pakistan's flood survivors could soon start dying from a lack of access to drinking water.
Children are dying now as we speak because of lack of access to clean drinking water.
It is 6 p.m. in New York and 3 a.m. in Islamabad. This is Press TV's World News.
Thanks for joining us this hour. Well, those who had correctly predicted the 2008 U.S. economic crisis are talking about another crisis, considering the threats like muted growth, high unemployment, and choppy markets. A leading American bond fund manager, PIMCO, says the country's chances of deflation stands at 25%, comparing last year's 10%. Company adds the repercussions of the sharp global recession that followed the 2008 financial crisis are still unclear. An economic scholar, Nicholas Taleb, says he is betting on the collapse of government bonds and the investors should avoid stocks. Prior to the collapse of Lehman Brothers in 2008, Taleb had warned about the catastrophe. The Federal Reserve showed the concern this week when it downgraded its outlook for U.S. economic growth. It took a first step towards further monetary easing despite near zero official interest rate. Well, Alabama has become the first U.S. state to sue energy giant BP for damage caused by the Gulf of Mexico oil spill.
The worst environmental disaster in U.S. history has claimed 11 lives, and more than 200 million gallons of crude have poured into the ocean since the blast on board the Deepwater Horizon oil rig back on April the 20th. The lawsuit accuses BP and other defendants of failing to follow industry standards and putting profit before safety. The other parties involved in the suit include the rig owner Transocean and contractor Halliburton. The amount of the claim has not been released yet. The news comes after BP settled a dispute with the state of Texas over safety violations in its 2005 Texas City refinery disaster. The oil giant agreed to pay an unprecedented $50.6 million for its negligence in that case. The explosion in BP's Texas City refinery killed 15 workers.
Well, moving on with the world news here on Press TV now, a U.S.-led airstrike in Afghanistan's southern Helmand province has killed at least 8 civilians. The civilians were killed when foreign forces targeted a house in the suburbs of Lashkargah city. This attack comes only a day after U.S. troops stormed a house in Wardak province, killing 3 brothers and detaining their father. Anger and frustration has been mounting among Afghans over the deaths of civilians at the hand of U.S. forces. The U.N. has put the number of civilian casualties at over 1,200 during the first half of this year alone. It blames a quarter of the deaths on foreign troops.
3 U.S.-led foreign forces have died in separate incidents in Afghanistan. 2 soldiers were killed in a militant attack in Afghanistan's southern Helmand province. Britain's Ministry of Defense has announced that 1 soldier was a Briton. Another British soldier also died after sustaining wounds in a helicopter incident in the same region on Tuesday. 330 British troops have been killed since the U.S.-led invasion of Afghanistan in 2001. The rise in the number of troop casualties has drastically reduced public support for the Afghan war in the U.S. and Europe.
The International Committee of the Red Cross, the ICRC, says Pakistan's flood survivors could soon start to die due to the lack of clean drinking water.
The reports we receive from the teams on the ground is that, you know, access to clean drinking water is not limited. There is no clean drinking water at all. And if we don't manage, we're focusing on these issues, if we don't manage to address these issues fast, then the number of people dying in this disaster will considerably increase. Children are dying now as we speak because of lack of access to clean drinking water.
The Red Cross has also announced that millions of flood victims still have no access to relief aid. Aid agencies are also warning that disease outbreaks are posing new threats to flood victims and could hinder relief efforts. Pakistan has announced that up to 20 million people have been affected by the devastating floods. The disaster has claimed over 1,600 lives so far. Relief workers are now finding it extremely difficult to deal with a crisis in particularly the country's northwest.
You're watching the World News here on Press TV. A quick reminder of our top stories this hour. In the U.S., despite government efforts, fund managers grapple with fears of another recession. More civilians are killed in yet another U.S. airstrike in Afghanistan. And Pakistan's flood survivors could soon start dying from lack of access to drinking water.
These children are dying now as we speak because of lack of access to clean drinking water.
New landslides in western China have killed at least 33 people, while hundreds of others are missing. The mudslides occurred in parts of northwestern Gansu province and neighboring Sichuan after heavy floods battered the area on Friday. The Zhoukou County in the same province, nearly 600 people rather, are still missing. Many others are still buried under the debris. Meanwhile, China's health ministry has warned of spread of infectious diseases in the affected regions. Rescue workers have been dispatched to the areas to help contain the infection. However, officials say survivors are facing a grim situation because clinics have been damaged.
Russian media say Moscow is playing down the impact of the worst heat wave in history by failing to disclose the true scale of the disaster. The media has also accused Russian authorities of imposing a ban on diagnosing heat stroke as a cause of multiple deaths in a bid to keep the lid on true statistics. But Moscow officials have so far denied the allegations. Earlier this week, Moscow's chief medical authority said the capital's mortality rate has almost doubled and morgues were filling up with bodies. Meanwhile, wildfires in Russia are worsening. They are approaching the country's main nuclear research center, with thousands of firefighters sent to the area to contain the blaze. Now, despite long-awaited downpours, the fires continue to rage around Russia's capital.
There was forest here a few days ago. A wildfire devastated 2 hectares of trees, getting close to a nearby Rosinka village in the Shatura region. 100 residents were evacuated. Volunteers and locals are fighting the fire with rescuers just 100 meters away from the houses. They have one task.
To stop it from spreading to the next forest. We are 13. We are beating off the fire at this corner while firemen fill trucks with water. They go back and forth. Water is scarce.
1 ton of water is needed to extinguish 1 square meter of a burning peat bog. Each fire truck carries 3 tons of water, which it pumps from the nearest pond. The pond is 3 kilometers away.
80% of the territory of the Shatura region is made up of peat bogs. They burn every summer. This year, the first fire erupted on April 5th. Since then, local authorities have carried out 1,200 firefighting operations.
A 5-minute drive and you see firemen battling another peat bog fire on an area of 10 hectares. It erupted 4 days ago. Firefighters had no time to waste.
This is the only road to the next village. The fire could cut off the village and its residents. We put it out with fire water monitors. At night, we used lighting system to illuminate the fields to work round the clock.
This fire has been contained, but many more are still ablaze. Combustible peat bogs remain here from the times of the USSR. Soviet authorities dried up swamps to harvest peat as fuel. After this fire season, the Moscow region government decided to flood the Pitbog area in 6 districts, including Shatura. Local officials admit this year is extraordinary.
We need 2 days of good rains, and the situation in the Moscow region will stabilize. We have had no rain for 48 days now. I don't remember when we had anything like this.
Shatura is located 100 kilometers east of Moscow. Much of the smog which engulfed the capital in recent days came from here, blown in by eastern winds. Svetlana Tikhomirova, Press TV, Shatura region.
The Israeli army has once again clashed with anti-war protesters in villages across the occupied West Bank. The armed forces used tear gas against the peaceful demonstrators as they were marching toward the separation wall. The protest organizers say scuffles broke out between the demonstrators and the Israeli troops in Nil'in village near Ramallah. Israeli forces always break up the weekly rally against the wall. The International Court of Justice considers the wall as illegal.
All over the world, Muslims are taking joy in the month of Ramadan. It is no different in Lebanon, as friends and family gather just before sunset to celebrate this special month. Mariam Saleh, Press TV's correspondent in Beirut, has all the details.
As you drive through the streets of Beirut, you can grasp a general sense of the holy month of Ramadan. Muslims seem to find a spiritual joy while fasting during this month. Modern medicine acknowledges the many benefits of fasting that just before sunset, friends and family gather at the breakfast table to enjoy a nice meal, either at home or at a nearby restaurant.
So anyone he can to find the healthy food, he can to find the good food for the fasting people. So for the fasting people, it's important to get the vegetables, to get the potato, and to get the beans.
Here at one of Beirut's restaurants, the tables are ready with foods that contain substantial sources of nutrients and fiber, essential for another day of fasting. A nice meal after a long day of fasting is one of the prizes that every Muslim awaits in the month of Ramadan. The most important foods are right here, especially dates, one of the very few foods that provide so much vitamins and minerals that the body needs for the fast. And also, don't forget the vegetables, and most importantly, lentil soup. There is also another great reward that every Muslim awaits as a result of good deeds. Here in Lebanon, the spiritual aspect is quite distinctive in the increased time people give to prayers and reciting the holy book, the Quran, in addition to the charity that people all over the country strive to give to the poor and needy people. Religious scholars tell us that part of the essence of fasting in this holy month is being able to relate to those who are in need.
Exercising the will to fast does not only include a special relationship, but it also reflects on our manners with other people. It becomes practical through the charity we give to the orphans and the help we extend to those in need. When a Muslim person feels the hunger and thirst, this could be a motive to feed the hungry.
Islam's Prophet Muhammad had constantly stressed that during Ramadan we are guests of the Almighty, something every Muslim should capitalize on. Mariam Saleh, Press TV, Beirut.
Well, that's all for this edition of the World News here on Press TV. Be sure to visit our website, presstv.ir, throughout the day for the latest updates and all the news that we've covered and a lot more. As you can see, our top story comes out of Cuba, where the former Cuban leader Fidel Castro has celebrated his 84th birthday in style, saying he will remain faithful to his ideas about the revolution, saying, quote, "I became a revolutionary and will remain a revolutionary." Top right-hand corner of the page, you can see our watch live and audio streaming, which you can click on to watch us live or to listen to us live at any time of the day if you do not already have us on satellite. That and much more on our website, presstv.ir.
Well, Tottenham are gearing up for Saturday's clash against Manchester City. Sheena will have all the details in Sports International right ahead.